Welcome to This Little Island, the podcast that takes you through the quirky side of Great Britain. We've got a great episode lined up for you this month, so please have a listen and we hope you enjoy it. Welcome to This Little Island, the podcast that comes to you from the depths of Essex. This is episode one. What are you looking at me for?
Because we kind of discussed last time and it isn't really the depths, but I'm not going over that again.
Okay. And that is the friendly voice of Gemma.
Hello.
Say hi, Gemma.
Hi.
And we have a special guest with us this week because, as promised, episode one was going to be all about feminism. And we managed to find a feminist.
Here I am. I'm Chloe and I count myself as a feminist.
You sound like it's almost like a rare thing. Like,
you should have seen the look you gave me.
We found a feminist
on the street somewhere.
See, I thought the look Gemma gave me was, I'm a feminist too.
Well, yeah, no.
That is in Gemma, not me. We're going to get to that, don't worry. Okay, so, well, if you listen to the first preview, then you should have an outline of what we're going to talk about and what the podcast is about and that. So, we might as well just crack on. Mm. Feminism in the UK.
Yeah.
That's a big topic.
It's huge.
Well, we're now on our second female prime minister.
Yes.
That's a good thing for feminism, right?
It's a good thing for feminism.
Some people may. Yeah, I'll just otherwise.
We don't want to get into politics here or...
Okay. Well, other feminists might argue otherwise.
Yeah. I think, obviously, it's a huge achievement to have a woman in power, but I think we need to pay more attention to what they do with that power rather than just being a woman, I think a lot of people would say, but obviously... It is great that we have our second female prime minister. So,
yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. Like, it's great that she's a woman, but
doesn't make her a feminist.
Yeah. or good at the job.
She is certifiably not good at the job. We can agree on that. Does that mean we're in agreement that it's good for feminism, bad for the country?
What, that she's female? No, that she's not very good at the job. That's bad.
Is that bad for feminism?
Oh, well, yeah, possibly, yes. I suppose that could...
Because the old argument will come across, why don't you just get a man to do the job?
Oh, or a better woman.
Yes, but do they exist in politics?
Oh!
There's that argument as well. Right, so as in the preview episode, as when we outlined this, it was more to do with whether... I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to feminism in the UK, as you could probably tell based on what we're on, 2:35 of this conversation. So I'm looking forward to learning more about it and finding out what it does actually entail, because part of me feels like it's the bra and knicker debate. That came out wrong.
What was
bra and knicker brigade. it's been a long day.
I was like, I haven't heard of that
one.
Yeah,
I had no idea what you were trying to say.
You know, like burn our bras at dawn and tie ourselves to...
The
Houses of Parliament.
I
don't know.
Burn them anyway. This is the thing that I think we were talking about. We were discussing the topic prior to this, like just the two of us, I think in the gym. And that's where we have most of our conversations.
It is.
And
because we work out, we're tough.
That was to me, not you.
Right. I'm not tough.
And yeah, it kind of came across that I was kind of just ranting at you. Excessively, because it was frustrating talking to you about it.
About feminism?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that experience with me, Chloe?
Well, I've seen a few of your Facebook comments and they were quite...
Like, what? Okay, so, right, let's contextualise this because this will be a good into the conversation.
Yeah.
So, when we did the first preview episode of This Little Island, we'd planned to do this recording and do this episode. We were all looking forward to it. And I'd reached out to a couple of online... I want to call them feminists. I don't know. No, they are. They're feminists. But I don't think that's what defines them.
No,
but
they're just very... You just put the question out there of who on here is a feminist.
Let me tell my story.
Okay, sorry.
So, we reached out to a few, and a couple of them let us down. A couple of us just couldn't allot the time to come and spend time with us or record on Skype. Whoops, that's my computer. And so, I then just put up a post on Facebook. Who on here is a feminist? And it got, what, 112 comments?
I think it got up to like 140 something.
It sparked a debate.
Yeah.
I think that tells you a lot about the term, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It's a very divisive term.
Definitely kind of confirmed that this was something we should talk about, though. The fact that it kind of exploded like that kind of was like, this is very significant.
And to put that into some context, that's like the most commented post I've ever had on Facebook. I'm not one of these people who gets like 140 comments on everything I do. I'm lucky if I get three.
He does post a lot as well.
Excuse me?
It's a lot of selfies.
I am not that bad with my selfies. I'm really not. Right, so, and then a couple of those comments, I was being purposefully antagonistic because I wanted to keep the debate going, mainly for the purposes of this little island. Mm. However, for me to be able to say them, there must be some element of truth in them.
Yes.
Like, what were the comments? I can't even remember the conversation. Are we going to go through them?
It quite quickly became apparent that a lot of people were unsure whether a man could be a feminist.
Can a man be a feminist? Yeah. Should we start with that?
Yes.
Topic one.
Or should we start with what is a feminist? Like, the definition of a feminist?
Or are we going to go for, like, this is what the Oxford Dictionary says?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. The Oxford Dictionary says about feminism.
I need to find it.
You don't have it ready. I teed it up and everything. Come on, Gemma. We're going to be professionals. Any minute now.
It is there. Right, so feminism is... The reason I'm saying this is because I'm not sure how to say this word, and I don't often struggle with words.
Do you need to look?
Advocacy.
Yeah. There we go. She's an advocate.
The advocacy of women's rights on the ground of equality of the sexes.
Say that again.
The advocacy of women's rights on the ground of the equality of the sexes.
Right. So it's someone who openly advocates that women and men should be equal.
Yeah, which I think is a point that a lot of people miss, because a lot of people assume that feminism is...
people waving their bras above their heads.
I think people forget the historical context of where it came from. As in, it comes from a time when it was really solely focused on women, I think people forget it's been an evolving project. So feminism now tries to incorporate LGBT. It's quite a long definition now.
There's like 12 letters in that now.
Yeah. Is there?
Yeah, there's a lot more than... But my point is basically it's trying to move away from focusing on women. And I think that's something that hasn't got to the kind of mainstream definition of feminism. So when
feminism is evolving into human equality.
Yeah, and it's the idea that equality shouldn't be based on gender. So feminism is paying attention to people who feel they're genderless, or they don't want to be defined as a man, a woman. They feel like they incorporate both, and so there's definitely a move away from feminism is for women.
Right.
But they have been the focus because that's where the problem kind of came from.
Okay, so my understanding is that there's 76 or more genders.
Yeah, you said this to me the other day.
Yeah, courtesy of Steve. Hey, Steve, if you're listening.
What was the one that you were surprised?
I can't remember. Paedophilic one.
Oh, right, yeah.
So...
okay, we're not getting to that.
Yeah, we're going to save gender for, like, another episode once we've got these 10 recorded. Because we're going to get Steve on, because he's quite hilarious talking about that topic. Okay, so feminism is now evolving into equality for humanity.
Yes.
But only
with a focus on women's rights, but feminism wants to be an inclusive project, so if you don't identify as a man or woman, it doesn't mean you can't be a feminist. It's kind of feminism.
Right. So then if I'm a man, I can't be included in that bracket.
Why not?
Yeah, of course. This is my point, is that it's focused on women, but that doesn't mean that people seem to think, they hear the femme in feminist and think, I'm a man, so I can't be a feminist. And it's really, really frustrating, because there's some amazing feminist campaigns that at the moment are talking about the suicide rate in men. Feminists want masculinities to kind of stop being enforced on men. So stop telling people to man up, stop telling people don't act like a girl.
But then,
and that translates into men's, like, campaigns for men.
In the men's world, that's a big campaign.
Of course you can be a feminist and be a man. It's just...
of course.
It should go hand in hand.
Hmm.
I think some people feel threatened by the term, and that again has got a lot to do with kind of historical assumptions. Oh, they're all lesbians burning bras, kind of, which don't need to keep.
I never brought lesbians into it.
You did bring burning bras into there.
Burning bras, I'll stand up for.
We need to kind of let go of. It's like, okay people aren't burning bras anymore. That was a time and a place, and this is really about being inclusive and making this a better thing for everyone.
It's the extreme side of it. It was like I said to you, the feminazi side of things. I don't like that term, but it's kind of, that's what a lot of people kind of think. Oh, if you're a feminist, then you're a feminazi, and everything's to the extreme, and you, yeah, are the more kind of like almost men bashing men, hating side of things, and that's not what it is.
Right. So what is it?
Have you just missed the point?
No, I get it.
It's about equality.
It's about equality.
Yeah, and it's about
Equality in what?
In the way that everyone's treated, and
it's about respected. Power relations. So it's about not deriving power from being a man or a woman.
Me, okay?
Oh, bras coming off.
So are women that? Oh, sorry. Are these? Although I don't want to sound like any more of a Luddite. Now, I know...
You can try.
I know. Keep digging, Adam. It's going to be a complete episode of Adam digging. Now, obviously, I know, like, gay rights are nowhere near equal measure to straight rights in this country.
No.
And that's fair enough. So we can shovel that under the branding of feminism. The same with transsexual, transgender, all of these different topics.
Yeah.
That's fine. I get it. Okay. Yeah. So when I say this, I understand that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
In what other ways are women unequal to men in this country?
So I was looking for some statistics today, actually.
Statistics? Do you want to say that word again?
Statistics. on the government website, I found that for every £1 a man earns, a woman earns 81p. So people try and tell me the pay gap is a myth. It's really not.
So
that is quite a significant difference.
Women earn less.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
for doing the same job.
Every business I've worked in, that's not the case.
No.
And I've worked in a lot of businesses.
But it is still the case.
Like, as a whole, that is the case. It's just your experiences.
And do you have any direct experiences of this?
I don't have experience of being paid less, but I've had plenty of experiences where I feel like I've been treated differently in the workplace. As
by management?
By customers,
I get. I don't disagree with that, because that will come into a society issue, which we can come to.
But society would impact the workplace as well.
I did an internship last year.
I mean, you work in the hospitality industry, don't you?
Yeah.
So... in that environment, like in a pub or something like that, I can understand how men are being particularly sexist in that environment.
I don't think it matters on the environment, though.
But last year I did a 9-week internship at a big company on their scheme. And
let's not name them, just...
No, I'm not going to.
I can't afford a lawsuit right now.
And I was really shocked, actually, the way I was spoken to. When we used to go see clients, I'd have a male intern exactly the same, greet normally... And then they'd greet me with, "Oh, it's really nice to have a pretty girl come and see us today."
And how does that make you feel?
It makes you feel inferior. It's derogatory. It makes me feel like I'm there for entertainment and the male intern's there to do some work. It was horrible.
Judged on separate values.
Yeah.
That the fact that it doesn't matter what kind of work you produce, as long as you look nice while you do it, that's fine.
You're nice. It's nice because I'm pretty, not because I'm doing a good job. But what if
the man who said that to you intended it? And he may have misplaced it, and it may have been poorly judged, but intended it just as a nice compliment. Is that possible? Wrong with that?
That's not really the point, because that's become accepted in the workplace among an older generation of men, particularly what I was encountering. And even if he genuinely thinks he's being nice, I should be able to say, "I'm sorry, I find that offensive, judging me on my gender." But because I'm at work, I'm not allowed to question an older man's authority. That made me feel inferior, and it made me feel like I wasn't being judged by my performance. If he said to the man, "You're wearing a nice suit today," or "Nice to have a young handsome man come to me," but he would not have said that. He wouldn't be complimenting a man. He's doing it because I'm female. I think that's where the problem
lies.
You're
less likely to have someone say something like that on equal terms. And it's just, it's an archaic kind of point of view around kind of like the people's kind of what they judge to be appropriate. things have changed and we've moved on, and like, whereas you or I would kind of stand there and kind of be like, that's not okay, you can't say that to me. People did accept it for a very long time.
Well, I mean, but I know, like, people accepted being slapped on the arse in the workplace and stuff like that, you know,
which is now harassment.
Yeah, of course, and rightly so.
Well, not now, it was then. Harassment. Yeah, no, but more people are more likely to now call them out.
The law's caught up, shall we say. Right. So, that's workplace money, workplace attitude, and stuff like that. So in what other ways are women unequal in society? Is it just a monetary issue? Are women just being greedy?
No.
Is it greedy to want equality, though? Is it
women are completely underrepresented in
the No, I get that. Skills. Like, you only have to look at the Houses of Parliament.
But
as if that's going to be, obviously, democratic, it's, if you just look at men-women numbers, it's completely undemocratic.
If you look at the STEM fields of work, from a young age, science, technology, engineering and maths, girls are told scientists is for boys, just as way nursing is for girls, science is for boys. And we've got this huge gender gap in feminine industries, in masculine industries.
See, my mum, when she was at school, and she was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, I want to be a mechanic. I'm sure it was a mechanic. Something like that. Even now, like, a female mechanic is not something you come across all of the time, rightly or wrongly so. And her school turned around to her and said, you can't do that, that's a man's job. And this is, 1970, 1960?
But
the thing is, this is still going on. That still isn't shocking. If you said that happened now, I wouldn't be surprised, because there's a huge, huge problem with getting women into careers that are seen as, we have the same flip side on the feminine careers, but not so much. And
but then the women want to do, like, there's just not such a big demand for female mechanics.
How do you know?
But
because there isn't. If there was, there'd be more of them, wouldn't there?
No, not at all. It's a male career,
and no one demands male. People just demand mechanics. But the problem is, women aren't told that. No one's demanding a male or female mechanic.
No, you're right. You're right. It's a completely gender neutral job, or sex completely underrepresented.
As long as that person is good at that job, does it matter what genitalia they have?
So to that point, no. Of course it doesn't. I'm not suggesting it does. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate to figure this out. So, like, for instance, in the army, I don't know how it stands in this country, but I know in America, women aren't allowed to be on the front line.
No. I don't think.
There's, I know that it might have very recently changed.
Yeah.
But I am fully aware that women aren't allowed on the front line in some instances, or it's just recently changed.
I'd be interested to know why.
Is that downright sexist, or is that actually...
To me, it would kind of depend.
Is that not being kind and caring? But then, is it against... Then, as a man, are you basically saying, because I'm a man, my life's technically cheaper than a woman's?
No, I'm wondering if it was deemed that they'd be too emotional,
does that as well?
Something like that.
Maybe.
You say,
maybe.
Is that kind and caring? It's quite patronising to women that would love to go and do... They don't need a kind and caring man to tell them that they don't... You know, can you imagine if that was your dream and you said, I'm being kind and caring by not letting you do it?
By not letting you go and
shoot. And you don't join the army to not...
Lots of people do join the army to not fight on the front line.
Yeah, but if you want to, why should you be stopped?
Why should you be told that?
It's just come to me. I remember listening to the debate now. I think it comes down to physical fitness, and that is a scientific difference.
Yes,
that can't be avoided. In many examples, now there are as many fit women out there as there are men.
Yes,
but
and weak as like.
Yeah, and over the whole spectrum. Yeah. But generally, if they're doing it on the demands of fitness, a man can scientifically run further, run quicker, run longer, build more muscle,
lift more,
everything scientifically compared to a woman.
But I feel like
fair judgment, is it not?
But I think they should still allow women to serve on the front line. They'll just have to make some kind of system of.
But you can't. You're at war. Like, you know, but there's guns firing.
Surely women
if you've got to run out of a war zone, you need to run as quickly as you can.
I don't believe that every man will be able to run quicker
for
than
that purpose.
If you can meet the fitness test,
if
you
it was
could
a fitness test kind of thing, where it'd be like, right, you need to meet these certain requirements, and then you can fight on the front line. And if a woman can do it, she can go. that's how it should be, because then it'd be equal, it'd be equality, because anyone could do that test, and if they pass, they go and do it. That's fair.
We've got equality in the workplace. Mm-hmm. We've dealt with the army, sort of. We think there should be a bottom line fitness test.
You were saying, yeah.
What if they set the fitness test so high no woman can achieve it?
I would have something to say about that.
But how do you judge? How do you judge whether it's too high?
If it was so high that only like the very, very top men who were like, I don't know, crazy, crazy fit could do it, that would be stupid.
You take something like the CrossFit Games, the women are as fit as anything, but they have less to do than the men.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that if you did like a generic kind of fitness test, if you put it at a certain level, I guarantee you would get women able to pass
that.
Yeah,
I bet if you opened up the fitness test.
It is, and as we now know...
And people that was their dream, they'd bloody work for it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
If that was your...
I'm not saying you wouldn't get less women, because you would get less women than men. Because that's just how it is.
Yep.
But you would get some
women. And I think there would always be a way to make use of people. It makes me think of, I've watched Hacksaw Ridge the other day, and they said, you can never have anyone be any use without a gun. And he fought and fought and fought. He went to war without a gun and saved countless lives. But they said, he hasn't got a gun, so he's no use. And I feel like the same could happen with women.
That was a film.
Yeah, it was a true story.
Really?
Yes, it's a true story.
I've not seen the film.
Quite a lot of films are based on true stories.
The man was amazing.
I know that, but they also put a lot of artistic license into
it. No, it was complete true story. And I think, again, that's partly men feeling threatened by the idea that a woman could go to war with them, and this presumption that a woman won't be useful because they can't physically be as strong as a man. It's just, I think it's just built on prejudice that...
Is the prejudice not built on natural science, though?
To some extent,
and
but
that's,
no.
But our
But this
views
is like when
it,
people try to say men and women aren't equal because... they're born different. Biologically, we're different. We're not paid less. We're not harassed more. We're not excluded more because biologically it's built. Mm. A lot of things are learned behaviours through gender differences, and that's why feminism is a project, because
it's trying to overcome all of that.
And people that just go back to the argument, it's natural science, men and women are different, and that's how it is. It's just not the case.
No.
Is there any argument, and I'm pretty sure I know what's going to come at me, but is there any argument to be had that, thus far, it's not done the world too bad a thing, is it? Like, the way society is? Or has it? Especially in England, we don't all live a well-off life, because we don't at all.
Talking from a white male privilege.
Yeah.
Whoa! I'm not privileged in any way, shape, or form.
Really?
What, you think because I'm a white male, I have a natural privilege within this country?
No, I think that you've not experienced the same kind of prejudices that we're talking about in any way. I'm not talking about through your opportunities in work or any of that kind of stuff. I just mean, at a very basic level, you don't get the kind of that women have that not white. Well, this is a whole
I was speaking to my brother actually.
Racism's a whole different discussion, right?
My brother came out of a similar thing. I was telling him I was coming onto his podcast, and he was just like, feminism, whatever. And I just said, you just have no idea. My mum was saying, I remember when I was walking to work once, and obviously it's about 20 years ago, but I've had it happen to me. A builder shouted something about her being a woman, and she put her head down and kept walking, and then he shouted, "Get your tits out then, love, don't ignore me." And my brother was shocked. He's like, "I can't believe." He went, "Have you had people shout at you?" And I was like, countless times. Yeah. I've had people pull over on the curb shouting abusive things because I'm female, and he was shocked. And I said, that's something you'll never experience, I bet, because it doesn't happen to you.
I'll be honest, people compliment my ass all the time when I walk down the street.
Because you're
so...
a man.
My favourite is
you
when
you feel threatened like
you
that.
You don't look happy about what they're saying, and then they go, cheer up.
Yeah.
You're like, why?
In fairness, you say that, but, like, there have been times from, like, the gay community that I felt a bit, that's a bit near the mark. Or they say things to me, and I'm a bit, I'm not sure that's right. Luckily, I can be quite antagonistic in situations like that. So I can like poke the right buttons and stuff and have a good joke and a laugh with them. But then with a few people, it has got to the point where I'm like, I'm not sure that wouldn't be acceptable. I don't know why that's... So, if I did that to a woman, I'd be hung, drawn and quartered.
This is a conversation that I was having with friends on Saturday.
My point being, a man can experience it, but in my experience, it's only ever come from other men. Have I ever noticed it from women? No, because men take it differently. Men take it as a compliment. I've had many women in clubs go up to me and go, "Your ass is gorgeous," and grabbed it. And you're like, "Oh, blimey." But then you kind of recover and go, "Yeah."
No, because I was talking to a friend and she was saying in her workplace there was a situation where there's people who work there who will do that to men. They'll like literally just open the door and just stare at someone and make them feel really uncomfortable and say really like in the similar way that men do to women. And it does make them feel really uncomfortable. So I think it depends on the person in the situation. It depends on what's being said. It's a huge kind of grey area, but I wouldn't say you can just rule it out and say it doesn't happen. But I don't know. It's not okay. In any situation, it's not okay to make someone feel uncomfortable by saying something to them like that.
Standard.
Equality.
Full stop. Right. So going back to your point of, I've just had a flick through. It was 112 comments on Facebook.
No, I thought it was more.
I've just had a flick through that Facebook thread. And the word humanism crops up.
As in people saying they're humanists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if we take your Chloe's view on how feminism is a project of equality throughout all and everything, and men can be involved, other people can be involved, is that just now humanism? Or what is the difference between humanism and feminism? Is there a difference?
What is the definition of humanism?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Back to the concise Oxford dictionary.
Well, why not? I mean, to be honest, I don't feel like I'm comfortable enough kind of talking about it if I don't understand what it is at a really basic level.
I couldn't agree more.
I think maybe it depends on your feelings as a person, because feminism isn't supposed to be a kind of... There's not supposed to be a definition that if you don't agree with that certain definition, you're not a feminist. There's a really interesting book I want to read that's coming out. I think it's called Living a Feminist Life, rather than, say, Gemma said to me, "Oh, what do you think about the effectiveness of marches and protests?" And I think, well, they can be great, but they're also not particularly inclusive. And so for some people, feminism might be something completely different to someone else. But I think feminism does entail a focus on women. So it's an inclusive project. But for me especially, feminism focuses on women because that's how I feel every day. And say you believe in equal rights, but you do have this problem with the focus on women, I can see why you'd call yourself a humanist instead. And so just I think it just comes down to individual experience. But what frustrates me is when people say, "I believe in equal rights, but I'm not a feminist." And you just think, but you've just given the definition of feminism. You want equal rights as a man, but you're not a feminist.
But doesn't it come down to their understanding of feminism?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like, a lot of people my age... older, younger, like, I was handed Jane Eyre, told it was a feminist book, go read, and that's what feminism is. And you're like, "Oh god, feminism is boring."
Yeah.
You know? And
it's not just because you just didn't
want to
read Jane Eyre.
I got through an entire A-level without having read the book I had to do the paper on. But I don't, like, and in the education system, it definitely turned me off the thought of feminism. I'm not going to lie. My experience with feminism when I was doing my GCSEs and A-levels was, god, this is just, what is this? This is just horrific.
But it wasn't relevant to you, really.
No, but it should have been. It should have been a learning moment for me.
But it's kind of it's the situation you're surrounded by. It's what you kind of know and what you value at the time that makes it whether it's relevant or not. And I can understand why it wouldn't be at that time. I can completely get that.
And I think the stereotypes are the main issue that hold feminism back, because so many people on the comments, people I say, mention the word feminism, it's like this word that people go, "Oh, no," like people really get their backs up about it without really engaged
with it. It's like a political movement, isn't it? I think people view it as a political movement, even though it's not.
Yeah.
But it's the same way as if you go, "I'm a Tory, I'm a socialist, I'm a communist."
That's what, and
in
the same way people
go, garners opinion.
Yeah, people go bloody Tories, people go bloody feminists.
Good God, this isn't Radio Today and it's more than bloody Tories. But rightly or wrongly.
I think there definitely is a problem with engagement, and maybe we need more. The He For She campaign I really like, which is run by Emma Watson at the UN, and it's she really aims at getting, she's had like celebrity males, and she really aims at saying it's for everyone, and that's why it's called He for She. It's kind of like we're all supporting each other, and I think we definitely need more of that, because feminism will do so much better when it's kind of more of a project. Like the March Against Trump was really interesting, because a lot of men turn out to support their wives, their girlfriends, their sisters, and it was much more inclusive about let's all support each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely the way
forward. Yeah, that's what it's moving towards as well. That kind of is definitely what the way it's progressing, which is really good.
And people kind of, it's not about telling people what they should and shouldn't do. People seem to think that, oh, I can't wear makeup and I can't. And I count myself as such a girly girl, but I'm also a feminist, okay. And that's not, yeah. As I think, it's not a contrast, no, and people can't
it's
seem
funny,
to really understand
it. It's funny, because, like, the context of which I know you, Chloe,
yeah,
you are a girly girl.
Yeah.
Like, you're...
Everything's pink and...
Yeah, you're blonde and everything else, and when you popped up on this and you told me what you were studying and stuff like that, I was quite shocked. I was like, that's not what I had you pipped for at all. But it's great to see how engaged you are with it and everything. But
do you not feel slightly kind of like now stupid. You're questioning your kind of the like preconceptions you had about that? Like, why were you thinking that?
I was thinking that based on the context of which I knew someone. And that's the only that's only ever the way you can make a judgment on someone.
No,
it's not like
not
I prejudged her.
No. I'm thinking, because the way you put it, you said, well, she's girly, she's got blonde hair. I would never expect that of her.
If you were to ask me to describe what a feminist looks like, it's definitely not.
And that comes back to the point, about stereotypes. And I think the point of engagement is one of the biggest, especially coming from...
You look like you want to kill me, Jen.
Coming from recently graduating, where you're in a bit of a bubble of uni, where kind of everyone at uni was a feminist. It wasn't really something that was questioned. And then when I saw your post and I was reading the comments, I thought, oh, I'd love to talk about this, because I've come from an environment where it's kind of... It's an academic world and people are a lot more... Kind of probably know more about it just because it's studied in a lot of modules. I'd never have so many questions. And then I went to work and one day I was reading a book called Everyday Sexism, which is actually really interesting for putting it back to the UK.
Yeah.
It was basically a project where this woman started a website for people just put little entries about sexism they'd experienced, and it like blew up enormously. She's written two books out of it, amazing. Just tiny little instances where people have felt, like men and women, and people have felt actually feminism is really useful. And then, so I took that into work, and I had about 3 people say to me, why are you reading that?
Were they
I
men?
Thought, I think so, yeah. And I just thought, because it's interesting, because why would you want to read that? And it was, people were so shocked that I was even reading a book about sexism, so it is a really interesting conversation.
Why wouldn't you want to read that?
Yeah, and I was just a bit like, I didn't really know what to say. I thought, I'm interested. And I thought, well, surely that can't apply to you. And I said, well... Actually, I do feel like I have sexism all the time, and it is something that I think is relevant to me.
Is religion to blame?
Ooh.
No.
100%.
Why religion? Do you mean all religions? Do you mean Christianity in particular
in
this country?
Well,
I
can't speak with great authority on a lot of other religions.
No.
I can speak with great authority on Christianity. Well, not great authority. I'm not the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Jesus. Okay.
I am Jesus. I better not say that on a podcast. No, but like, you know, when you look at it, you know, God created the world and it was Adam and Eve, which is the whole gay argument. It wasn't Adam and Steve, which is funny. And it wasn't even Eve. It was Adam and Eve. So you've got equality there straight away. Except for...
No.
I'm coming on to it, okay? Except the man was created first.
Where are you going with
and
this?
And Eve was created out of... I'm trying to say, I think religion has a big part to play in this.
Yeah, no, okay. I get that. Oh, sorry, we're interrupting you, carry on.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And Eve was born out of Adam's rib.
Right.
And therefore, has that systemic thought of Genesis spiralled its way into our society? Because we're by law a Christian Church of England country.
You're kind of missing the whole
not
thing,
by law, but
which
we are.
Is what I assumed was the kind of the downfall of women, which is the fact that Eve was the one
took the apple.
Yeah,
and also none of the disciples were female.
No.
I know there was Mary Magdalene, who Jesus forgave, but even that's kind of a... Now, I know, you know, like, it's... And then you look at other religions, and they have similar leanings towards masculinity as opposed to femininity.
Not all of them, but majority, yes. I think in some ways, yeah, but I think the reason why religion has ended up that way, and the kind of the creation stories and all the different things where women are in that kind of position, like the Eve, kind of does stem from, this goes back to what we were saying previously about biology and about women deemed to be weaker, the weaker sex, to do with the fact, you know, like not really understanding what a period was and why that, what that was doing to the person, and the and even to be, to some extent, especially, I know, like, through, up until quite recently, especially with the vote and stuff, it was deemed that the mentally women were the weaker sex, and we were a lot more fragile and were more susceptible to madness.
Jane Eyre.
Yes. So,
yeah, I did read it. I didn't read it.
I think it kind of... religion probably hasn't helped, but though it kind of... There's a lot more behind it.
I think,
of
course. I did some really interesting modules on Islam this year, and there was a few examples where the Quran was completely interpreted in a completely different way depending on the situation of women in that society at the time. So when one of the prophets had a lot of wives and wasn't great at treating women, it was interpreted very strictly. When there was an age where women were a lot kind of freer, had different positions of power, it was complete, it was interpreted completely differently. So I think like it has played a part, but also it is, when you look at history, it's amazing how quick people are to kind of either dismiss or agree with parts of religion depending on what's going on at the time. So I think there is a lot more at play than what's written.
It's interpretation.
And a lot of that came down to society rather than the religion. Religious interpretation came after the kind of the work ethic, the home life, the marriage life. That wasn't kind of the defining.
Right.
Just from what I've studied, I've seen some examples that really surprised me where one piece of kind of text has been interpreted completely differently depending on how many women were in power in the court, how many women were actually wives, how many...
That's really interesting.
So,
is feminism a first world problem?
No.
You're both looking at me really confused.
Not confused. I'm kind of like... It seems like a bit of a bizarre question
part
to
ask. Part of me feels like it's kind of like...
Why would it be a first world problem?
No, part of me feels like it's kind of like the sausage sandwich brigade. Do you know what I mean? Like to an extent,
you keep coming out with all these terms that I've never, you've even never heard of.
Or maybe it's the prawn sandwich brigade, isn't it? It feels like
I just don't know.
Do you think people in less economically developed countries, the women are probably treated worse, but do you think they have,
depending on your,
more important things to worry about, like
survival? No.
I think
that's just unbelievably problematic what you've just said.
Well, take me through it then.
Feminism is a different project everywhere depending on your situation. Okay. But you can't say that when you're poor you don't have... There are plenty of grassroots movements in third world countries, a term that I don't really like using less developed countries. It's... You don't always have something else to worry about, you know. There's, you just can't really say that. Like, it's a project, and that's the point of... Not having, what I was saying earlier about not having a really rigid definition, because a lot of the time between first world and third world academics, you have a lot of arguments, because first world academics kind of say, well, in the third world, you know, our feminism, and they find it a bit oppressive. You think, we've got our own feminism.
Yeah.
They often say, like, our project isn't the same as your, we believe in the same thing, but we have a different situation. So yeah. I think it's very more about not saying that feminism means this, and yes, okay, we have feminism in this country, you might say it's more trivial, it's not, can I go to work, it's, I'd like to be treated a bit better and I'd like to be paid the same, but doesn't mean it's not a kind of, it can't be a global project. I think it's just about...
And it doesn't mean it's any less relevant.
No.
It's still just as relevant no matter what the context is.
So if you look at the Egyptian Revolution...
Do we make more of an issue of it in this country compared to less economically developed countries?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think we take the burden on ourselves for them?
Yes, and that is something that feminism globally is quite a politically charged project, because as I was saying, say feminists in Saudi Arabia, we say, obviously, there's it's not a very gender equal society. Mm. Women aren't allowed to drive. Women aren't allowed mm-hmm. to. But I was doing an essay about a music video where she portrayed the Saudi Arabian women driving, and feminists in the UK were going, "Oh, that's amazing! Like mm-hmm. that's liberating." And Saudi Arabian feminists were going, "Hang on, like not all of us. We actually have a lot other more things to worry about than the driving ban. Just because yeah. you can drive in the UK and we can't, doesn't mean our feminist project is any less worthy." And they found it insulting that people in the UK were going, "Woohoo, Saudi Arabian women driving!" And yeah. actually, they've got a lot of really interesting projects going on, and driving is not at the top of their list. And
it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And they found it very patronising that we were going, "Oh, this American music artist is liberating Saudi Arabian women," and they were like, "Hang on a minute, this is our own."
They're doing it in their own.
That's so interesting.
But I think taking on
that's what I mean. But that, yeah. but that kind of, in some way, sort of proves my point. You know, like we in like the first world, you know, like in terms of first world problems, that. That kind of sums it up, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's definitely.
Like, that does, doesn't it? Oh, they yeah. think a music video showing something like that is yeah. going to call, like, cure all the problems. And it just does it, like, doesn't go anywhere near deep enough. And then maybe that's, like, ridiculously our attitude towards it abroad compared to here.
It's just the, again, it's different interpretation of what's relevant, what's not relevant, what's needed, necessary. Mm. Just, yeah.
Again, it's being aware that a problem for you. I think that's again a problem. Yeah. The problem for you that is a feminist issue isn't a feminist issue for everyone, and yeah. that's people listening. I'd hope would take from this discussion is that feminism is a loose term. It's a project that we want everyone to get involved in. We understand not everyone's going to have the same exact goals, but everyone can help each other out with it and kind of can respect each other's boundaries so.
And help progress it.
Yeah, yeah, but we know only too well in this country people can't respect each other's boundaries. Like, but no,
that doesn't mean we should just give up.
No, it doesn't mean we should just give up. Is it a political movement?
It doesn't. One of my favourite phrases is the personal is always political.
The personal is always political.
It's used by a lot of feminist scholars to say things that we count as, we say, "Oh, this is a personal issue," actually is politics and is conversing. But I think that shouldn't put people off from saying they're feminist. You don't have to have specific political beliefs to be a feminist again. I think
once
you start conflating the two, that again becomes a bit problematic, but
but politics comes into everything at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's the point of the phrase,
also
is that things are political, and it's very hard to say this is a personal issue without it pumping.
But you know, and when you look at equal rights in the workplace, when you look at equal pay, when you look at equal maternity paternity leave, things like that. You know, like, as a man, what's the equivalent of feminism for men? Menism? Is there a campaign for that or not?
Menism.
Does that exist?
Is a term based. It is a movement, but it's basically an anti-feminist, anti-woman movement. It's not an equality.
I don't mean it in that sense whatsoever. But things like, on the man side of feminism, whatever the equal term would be,
but
it's
again,
like, do we get equal paternity pay?
But that's a feminist issue. That's something that feminists have been campaigning for years, and it's something that people don't realise. But also, say, going into the workplace, I don't think I'd want to take loads of time off to have a baby. I'd like to be able to share that responsibility with a partner. So that, to me, that's a feminist issue. And also, I don't think it's fair that you can only take 2 weeks and I can take. So that is a feminist issue, because if you believe in equal rights, you thereby believe that both mothers and fathers should have.
Yeah.
That might not suit everyone, and that might not be everyone's hopes and dreams and whatever, but it's still a feminist issue.
Right.
It's still about opportunity. I could be a feminist and say, I don't want my partner to take any time off, but he should have the option to, and that's something we'll agree between ourselves. And
yeah,
that's
of course.
An example of the personal being political. It's not necessarily.
So when we look at things like some of the comments on that Facebook thread about how feminism can be to blame for things, that might just be because people don't realise that actually feminism works for all of those issues as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, "Oh, feminists pick and choose," but most people I know that support feminist projects wouldn't say men don't deserve equal time off or men don't deserve...
No, but of course feminists pick and choose because it's a personal thing and you're going to pick and choose the rights on which you believe in, aren't you? And the ones that affect your life more so than others.
Yeah.
Or ones that don't affect your life but maybe affect somebody else's life.
People seem to think that when I say I want equal rights, I mean I want equal rights until the point that, like, people think, oh, you're just saying you want equal rights but you're all about women, and it's really not the point. And like I say, there's so many great feminist campaigns going on which do focus on men, particularly the suicide and the paternity leave.
Mm.
I think it's something, I think it's just something that people knew more about. I just think there's a lot of, within feminism, there's still so much room for expansion and kind of inclusion.
But do you not think then that's fine, and I feel like we do need to wrap it up shortly, but then do you not feel like the word feminism gets in the way of the movement itself?
Yes.
Mm.
So, we have a unique opportunity here.
Let's change the word.
What are we going to call it?
But
we can't have humanism, because that's taken.
Well, people say equalism, don't they?
Personism.
Yeah. Why would it not be equalism?
Pretty.
Because would... Do you think all feminists would accept equalism as the new term for feminism?
I can see why there would be, maybe just because they've associated with something for so long and it's familiar. Right.
So it's kind of like breaking an entrenched view.
A kind of a very basic level, I can't understand why you would object to that, because at the end of the day, that's kind of what it's all about now, is equality. Mm. So,
and I think you could always say, oh, well, I'm actually both, because personally I want to focus on women. That's my kind of personal project, but I agree with equalism, and so I'd count myself as a feminist and an equalist.
There's no reason why you can't be both.
And on that bombshell, let's say I am an equalist. I've had a revelation tonight.
It's been good.
It's been great.
It's been really good.
I definitely like the thought of being an equalist, because I've always not enjoyed the thought of being a feminist. Sorry, Chloe. No.
It's all right.
I mean that flippantly, mainly from my experiences with Jane Eyre.
That is my favourite book.
It scarred
me
for life.
You're upsetting
me. I'm sorry.
You might upset a lot of people saying...
I'm sure I will.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, well, I've definitely had my eyes opened. Unbelievably so. And it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming down, Chloe, to chat to us all the way from the depths of Essex to the borderlands of Essex.
What counts as the depths of Essex before we finish
anything,
up?
I don't know.
We kind of decided this wasn't the depths because it's right on the edge of London.
Greater London.
It doesn't,
okay.
That doesn't work, but...
Borderlands... So we call this the Borderlands.
Yeah,
the Borderlands.
The Borderlands.
Right.
And then I think anything where like the London Borough of Havering finishes.
Is Billericay the depths of?
The Billericay is definitely the depths of Essex.
I would say,
I migrated.
I've got to head back to the depths.
To the depths. I know. Make sure you turn your lights on. No, fantastic. So, I suppose we should just close it up, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening. I'll do a proper outro once we get all this done, but I've been Adam Berry. Feel free to like us, review us, follow us on the Soch and everything else.
The Soch.
I always call it the Soch.
You're so young and trendy.
I know. It's almost like I'm 15 years old.
That really makes me cringe.
What's wrong with the term the Soch?
It's horrible. Like it. Don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
Yeah. Stop.
Right, so follow This Little Island, the podcast, on the social media channels that we exist on. I'm glad you agree. I'm Adam Berry.
And I'm Gemma Norburn.
And we would both like to thank Chloe Bell.
Thank you.
Whee!
Woo-hoo!
I hope you enjoyed listening to it. I'd like to thank Chloe for coming down and having a chat with both Gemma and I. We really enjoyed having her there, and to be fair, I thought she was great. Phrased the arguments well, put them forward well. It was just good fun to record with her. So thank you so much, Chloe, and good luck with everything you do in the future, and make sure you keep us up to date with it. Now, This Little Island, you can probably tell, is just going to be a little podcast about the musings of what it's like to be in Britain these days, and we're going to come up with some funky topics and fun things to chat about next month,
because we're going to do each of these monthly. So hopefully it's not too taxing on your time to listen to us, and it's not too taxing on our time to create the podcast. We're going to record the monthly, and next month we're going to be talking about fake news. So that's going to be fun. If you listen to our preview episode, you can find out some of the reasons we chose that topic. And hopefully we'll get it up by the 24th of each month, every month. Now, as a listener, all we're going to ask you to do is just try and support us a little bit. Give us a little bit of love. Just head over to iTunes and leave us a review and 5 stars, or subscribe to us as well. That's all we want. It's not too easy to figure out how to subscribe or review. Subscribing's fine, but how to review a podcast on iTunes, I know I have difficulty with it. So in the show notes, I might leave a little link to on how to do it, just to help you along on your way. But it means so much to us. You can get in touch with us on the social media, as we said in the episode. And that's about it from me. We'll see you next month. Bye-bye.